So there's no Sunday school today, so the handful of kids are kind of stuck with us. But we are looking at people in the Bible that we know were transformed, right? So the theme for the summer is transformed lives. And we're looking today at the life of David. David is, of course, he was a king of the kingdom of Judah, of Israel, the combined. And today we're looking at the idea that David was in tuned with God. And we have just sung a couple of worship songs. It's fairly easy to be in tune when we sing in worship song because we've got piano, we've got guitar, we've got a leader who sings and who gives us the range, you know, where the boundaries within which you're supposed to sing. But imagine there's no keyboard, there's no leader. I think singing in tune is not necessarily the most easiest. And I thought it might be, we've got like a few group of people left here. Can I do a little experiment? Let's try to, there's no note here. I just want you to sing like whatever tone comes to mind and sing, okay. Is that okay? It's not too difficult. Let's see. This is not to judge, like, because there's no way you can get it right, right? We don't know. We don't have any frame of reference. So let's see like how aligned we are, how synced we are to one another, okay? So just do in whatever tone you would like, okay? 1, 2, 3. I see Stuart like leaning into what I'm saying. But see, like when there's no frame of reference, it's not easy to sing in tune because we don't have, you know, for example, so that's C, right? Like when you have a C, you know what to sing and you know the tune that you need to sing because you have a reference point and you are listening to the tone of the piano, the leader, and so you know what to sing, right? So the idea that we are in tune, of course, it comes from the life of David, who was said to be, you could say as a metaphor, that he was in tune with God. David is, well, of course, well known. He's quite famous as the underdog who defeated the Goliath, David and Goliath. One of the nicknames that he has, one of the famous characteristics of David is that he was a man after God's heart, right? What a title that is, that he was known as a man after God's heart, that he went after God's heart. He desired for what God desired. One way to say that, one way to talk about that metaphor is to say that he was in tune with God. He was singing, his music was in tuned with the music of God, if you like. He was a person who was in sync, who was in tune with who God was, his desires, and who God was about. We also know that David was the second king of Israel. And if you think about a king, I wonder what comes to mind. Like, what do you look for in a king? Maybe you can think of things like somebody who is brave. Maybe you can think of somebody who is imposing, who is impressive, right? Somebody who is strong, somebody who is wise. When God chose David, he didn't go for the most typical things, like those things, like bravery. And of course, he was brave. He was noble. He was good, all of that. But the main thing for God was that this was a person, a man who was after God's heart. So God was looking at the heart. He was not looking at the outer appearance, at how impressive the person was, how brave he looked, how imposing he looked. God was looking at the heart. So in one sense, you might say that David was not a typical contender for a king. Like, there's not a kind of person that you would go for in a king. But it is said in 1 Samuel, we are told, God sent a prophet to look for the next king, because Saul, the first king Saul, he wasn't doing great. He wasn't obeying God any longer. So God decided to choose the next king. So God sent a prophet to David, to find David, to look out for David. And 1 Samuel says, God looks at the heart. God wanted somebody who was in sync with him. Imagine if you are lead, if David is, if you use the metaphor of David as the song leader of a group, God wanted a leader who would sing in tune to God's desires so that the people also can join and sing in the right tune according to God's desire. So God wanted David, God chose David because David, even though he was not the natural contender for a king, his main characteristic was that he was a man after God's heart. He was in tune with God's heart. And we see this dynamic that David was in sync with God's heart. David was in tune with God's heart. I want to look at two scenes from his life. We know that, you might know that David was a songwriter. He wrote a lot of songs. Many of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, the book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. And many of the Psalms were written by David. So he was a songwriter. And whenever he goes through certain significant stages in his life, he would write a song. Okay. So I want to look at two songs today that comes from two very crucial moments in David's life. The first song that I want to look at is, it comes from the beginning of David's life. And this was a time, this was a song that shows how in tuned David was with God. Okay, so this, the first psalm, the first song that we're looking at is from Psalm 27. This is this comes from early in his life. And this comes when, we're going to read through that, but just to give a context, a little bit of context in that, this comes at a time when David was already shown up and already anointed David as a king. But he was not immediately thrown into the palace. He did not become king immediately. In fact, for many, many years, he had to run for his life. He had to run because the first king, Saul, remember Saul? Saul was jealous of David. And he hunted for David's life. And so David had to flee to the wilderness. He was promised as a king, but imagine, he probably did not feel at all like a king. He felt like a criminal. He was out in the wild. There's no palace. There's no luxury as a king. He was risking his life. All that promises and, you know, all the dreams, he must have felt quite disappointed. He must have wondered, where is it? Where is that supposed kingship that I'm supposed to take over? And I think that's probably something that we, in different levels, we can empathize with as well, that we have so many hopes and dreams, and sometimes it doesn't feel like, you know, all that is going to happen. And we see David going through that same process. This psalm was written when he was on the run for his life. And you can, so you can see some of the language, that the words that he says here. So let's let me just read that, and you can follow along. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. So we see here the psalm of David who was on the run. First thing you note, David is not vindictive. He's not bitter that he is supposed to be a king, but he's on the run. He's in the wilderness. There's no comfort. There's no luxury. He's out in this miserable place in the wilderness, and there's no sense of vengefulness in his heart, right? In other words, you might look at this and you get the sense that he was not looking to build himself, to build something for himself. In fact, there's one scene that I would just like to narrate. this was when the man standing with the spear is supposed to be David, and the man sleeping is Saul. So David was been hunted by Saul, and there comes a time when Saul, after all that hunting and trying to catch David, he was tired and he was taking rest in a cave. And it so happened that David was in the cave. And so his enemy, Saul, was there. He was right there in front of him. David could have reached out and killed his enemy, and then he could have become king. And that would have been perfectly legal, would have been perfectly legitimate, because after all, he was doing it in self-defense in some ways. But what he said was that, "I refuse to kill the king because I will not lift my hand on the Lord's anointed." He said, "This king, Saul, he's hunting for my life, but I'm not going to kill him because God had put him as a king. And I'm not going to be trying to grab the opportunity. I would just rather let things slide and I'll just let him sleep. I'll just run away." And so he instead of going ahead and grabbing the kingdom, right? Instead of going ahead and taking what is actually his, he chose to let it go. Because it was more important to respect the fact that it was God who put Saul up in the throne. So I just put some summary there. For him, his point was that, "I will not contradict God's will," which is that Saul is still the king. And in all of this, just to connect back to the previous psalm, the part where I have boldened it in verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord." This is such an incredible prayer, if I may say so. Because, see, think about David, right? In the wilderness, he's out, there's like thousands of things to be worried about his food, about drinks, about safety, about whether the kingdom is going to, he's going to get the kingdom at all eventually. So many things to be worried about, so much anxieties, so much concern. But for him, it's like one thing. There's a simplicity in David's heart. For him, one thing is to be in tune with God. For him, it's most important, all the anxieties, all those things about his concerns and his kingdom, his future, his life even. Yes, those are heavy, but for him, the most important thing is that he's in tune with God's desire. And we might put it in this particular occasion as saying, more than anything else, right? More than the kingdom, more than his vindication, more than his victory, more than getting what he deserves, what is rightfully his, even more than all of that, for me, it's more important to be in tune with God. More than safety, more than the throne, and so on and so forth. It's more important that I listen to God's voice, and just like we did with the metaphor, it's more important that I tune in to the desire of God, what God wants, and I'd rather do that than all the thousands of concerns that he has in his heart at the current moment. So his behavior and his attitude during this wilderness years, let's say, the time when he was in the desert, he was not vindictive. He was not grabbing. He was only seeking what is God's will. And he's like, "I would never contradict God's will. I would never hurt a person that God has put in his wisdom." And I think there's a great lesson for us there, right? In the way we think about our situation, our circumstances, but also I think more closer to this metaphor or to this story, in the way we think about others, right? The Bible tells us that we, all of us, are made in God's image, and to honor one another is to say, "I would never contradict God's image. I would never contradict the person that that you encounter, because each and every one of us are made in the image of God." And to hurt somebody is to hurt somebody who is made in God's image. So a beautiful picture of somebody who trusted in God, who was in sync with the heart of God. But we also know that David was not always like this. As time went on, he started to divert from this simple, single-hearted focus on God's will. To go back to our metaphor, pianos, you don't need to do piano so much with pianos, but you might have noticed every once in a while you need to tune the guitar. you leave the guitar sitting outside for some time, or you play with it long enough, it starts to go flat, and you need to tune it back so that it's aligned with the other's instruments, right? And in the same way, we see that in the life of David as well. There was a time when he needed to be retuned. He needed to be brought back in alignment with God's will for his life. And this retuning happened very prominently at a time when David was already king. And some of you, you will probably recognize this moment. This was a time when now, many, many years later, now David was king. And he has become a king. He has become the good king in many ways. He was successful. There was relative peace. A lot of things had happened. And then we see in 2 Samuel chapter 11 when David committed a sin. He took what is not his, right? He took the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, who is the wife of Uriah. He took something that does not belong to him. And instead of owning up to that, he sent the husband to the battle. He tried to manipulate the situation, and he sent the husband to the battle. And of course, the husband was killed. And so effectively, he killed Uriah because he wanted to take something that did not belong to him. Somebody's wife in this specific example. I think here we see a very drastic difference in the way he was before and the way he is now. Previously, when the King Saul was there, he could have just killed him. He could have taken what he thinks is his. He could have grabbed what he wanted, the kingdom and all of that. But he refused to grab. He refused to take, even though he that is what he wanted with all his heart. He said, "I would rather wait." Here in this case, there's no waiting. He was king. He thought he had power. He had power. And he used his power. He abused his power to grab and take what did not belong to him. He had moved away. He had diverted so far from who he was in the beginning, right? And it is told in 2 Samuel chapter 11, 27, another prophet came to prophet Nathan came to David and said, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. We see here it contradicted the heart of God, unlike in the previous time when all that David wanted to do was to please God. In this case, it was a complete different, vibe that he had compared to God. And so he did something wrong, clearly, and instead of owning up to it, he killed to protect himself. He pretended nothing had happened, and he pretended like it's all, just keep going. Life goes on, and he tried to live with it. But the prophet had to come and address, right? You might think of this as a long narration here that I think I will not read, but this comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12, in which the prophet Nathan went to King David and told him, give him a parable, a metaphor, and he told him that you have done a great sin against God, and God is displeased. Now, how did David respond to this? How did David respond to the realization that he was singing a note that was completely different from God's note, from what God was doing, from the desires of God? What did he do when he come to realize that he was out of tune? What did he do? He confessed before God. He repented before God, and of course he writes another song. Psalm 51 is a psalm that was written in response to Nathan's words of correction. Psalm 51, verse 7, a few extracts that emphasize this. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Here we see that David, he tried to avoid the reality of his sin. He tried to pretend like it's all going to be okay. But when the prophet addressed him, he was willing to repent and ask for forgiveness from God. And what we see is that God forgives him. God aligns David back to his will. And he did not just forgive. He restores David to the point that his son, the king that comes after him, Solomon, comes from the woman Bathsheba. So something good came out of that situation. Something that was restorative that came out of that that mess of his situation, because David was willing to repent, and he was willing to ask for forgiveness from God. Think of it this way. Let's say you're in a band and everybody else is singing their song, and the drummer is just going crazy, right? I mean, he's singing in different song. And imagine one of the bandmates realize that they're playing it wrong, and they're like, let's just keep going. At some point of time, it'll come together, you know, let's just keep going. Let's avoid it. I mean, just imagine how painful that will be. And I think this was what David was experiencing as well. There's in another Psalm, Psalm 32, let me check. There's Psalm 32, where David talks about how when he did not confess his sins, he says his bones, you know, wore away. He was exhausted. It was a tiresome thing to play in a band where you are playing a wrong note compared to the others. In the same way, it's a tiresome thing to pray when he's got his sins that he has unaccounted for. And so when you're out of tune, when David was out of tune, he felt like he had to hide. He felt it was tiresome. He thought he had to blame it up. He wanted to cover up. But then when he realized that he can be brought back in tune, when he confess, God forgives his sins, when God restores him, then he can return to that experience of playing together in the heartbeat according to the tune of God's desire. So we see a drastic situation happening here. In the first scene, David was in tune with God. He waited for what God would give him. He protected what he believed to be God's will, God's desire, and he trusted God. And he was in tune with God. But in the second occasion, in the second scene, when David was out of tune, he took what he believed was entitled to him. He was controlling, and his desire was just to serve himself. In the beginning, it was about what does God want? What has God done for Saul? Who is Saul? Saul is God's anointed. So his concern was who God is, what God thinks. And he acted according to those thoughts. But here in the second occasion, simply because he was king, simply because I can, and simply because I have the power, I'm just going to take what I want. And so we see a drastic shift in the personality. So what does this mean for us? I think we can go back to Psalm 27, in which we can think of David in the desert. There are many things that's vying for his attention. There are many things to be anxious about. There are many things to be running for, success, power, recognition. There are many things to be seeking in life for David as well. But we see in Psalm 27 for David is that he just sought for one thing. He just looked for one thing, which was that he wanted to be in tune with God, that he wanted to be with God. He wanted to listen to God and to walk with God in his desire. For him, if you may think of something more concrete, more practical, for him it'd be every morning to get up and to ask, what would be something that God would desire from me today, right? There are a lot of things to be worried about in life. There are a lot of things to be running about, but what is the one thing that that would mean for me to be in tune with God? What would it mean for me to be in tune with God. What are some ways in which I might be out of tune with God once for my life? And I think that's just a simple daily question that we could think about in our own lives to ensure that we are in tune with God, to be transformed in the right direction. So as we think about our own selves, we might find ourselves to be out of tune with God's desire, with what God might want in our lives. We might find ourselves being caught up with too many concerns, too many things that we are seeking in life. David's psalm, of course, comes to us and reminds us that even when we are sometimes horribly out of tune, the solution is not in hiding. Not the solution is not in hoping that it pans out, hoping that somehow the band will get it all together. Just play along, just keep going on. That's not the solution that we see in the life of David. It's best to stop and to reset, to retune, and to listen and make sure that we are tuning into the right music, the right voice in our lives. Not to contradict, but to listen and to be in tune with that. There's a hymn that I quite like. The hymn is called "The Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and I'd like to invite you to read along. If the words aren't too small, read along and let this be our prayer, right? As we think about our own lives, let this be a prayer for us that we might seek to tune our hearts to what God desires for us. So shall we read this together? Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Amen.